truth seekers.
Oh, yeah. It is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, coming to you live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike and Kathy are off for a day or two. They're going to be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me. Be happy about it. I know I am glad to be with you here tonight. Got a huge show straight ahead. And let's see. Let me get some business out of the way. Oh, well, a huge show not only today, but tomorrow as well. Just putting that out there. Tomorrow during the show, who's going to be joining me? Daily Show co-creator, my new BFF, Daily Show co-creator Liz Winstead is going to be with us tomorrow. Very excited about that. Ran into her in Las Vegas over the summer. We became fast friends, so you can look forward to that tomorrow. But I'm getting way ahead of myself because tonight, already a big show. Coming up in the show is one fellow by the name of Van Jones. You may have heard of him. He was the former White House Green Jobs advisor until he got Fox News Glenn Becked out of there. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be taking your calls on, just how the hell to put Humpty Dumpty back together again now that climate change and clean energy legislation has fallen apart. Thank you, cowardly Democrats. We're going to talk about how that happened. We're also going to talk about out here, hopefully with Van Jones, about an initiative on the ballot out here in California, Prop 23, which is essentially a couple of huge oil companies coming in from Texas, coming into California, and undermining the state's global warming law, which was signed into law. It was a bipartisan bill signed into law by the Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's furious about this because you got these guys coming in with this phony proposition that's going to be on the ballot this November, which will completely kill this important global warming law out here in California. We'll get to the specifics on that later, and we'll talk to Van Jones about it. Who else do I want to tease coming up? Later on, we're also going to talk about, speaking of California, Prop 19, speaking of green issues, Prop 19, which will legalize marijuana across the entire state out here in California. This November, it's on the ballot, Prop 19. We're going to be speaking with Alan St. Pierre from Normal about that and the effect it might have on the election, because it's about the elections. It's always about the elections. And, in just a few minutes, we're going to have Laird Monahan, a guy who, with his brother, walked across the United States recently to draw attention to the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United. The decision which is undermining what little democracy we had left in this country. And, you know, when it happened, everybody was yelling and screaming. Well, everybody. The people on the progressive side of the blogosphere, the two or three people that you can find on the corporate airwaves who have progressive voices, we were raising hell about it. The rest of the country, the Republicans, Fox News, they love this thing because it means unfettered corporate money buying our elections, which are, if you haven't noticed, completely for sale. And not only are they for sale, but they are for sale to secret owners. We don't have to disclose who is putting millions and millions of dollars, coincidentally, into all kinds of Republican for Republican candidates around the country. Go figure. Who'd have thunk it? Who could have foreseen that? But not only do they have to not disclose, they can also be foreign countries. China, Germany, Egypt, they're all funneling money into this bogus right-wing outfit calling themselves the Chamber of Commerce, millions and millions of dollars, which are being fed straight to Republicans and straight onto the airwaves for propaganda ads. That's it. America has been bought and paid for. And we've all sat by and watched it happen. And we watched the teabaggers out there yelling and screaming because they're so upset about something. Something that nobody knows what the hell they're upset about. What are they upset about? Well, they would be upset if they knew what was really going on. They would be upset if Glenn Beck and Fox News and the rest of them bothered to tell them that they have no voice, that their voice has been sold to the corporations. Because corporations, as the Citizens United decision made very clear, corporations are people. That's it. They're people. They can't die. They can't breathe. They can't go to jail. They have no mouth. But for some reason, they're entitled to more free speech than you or I. So we're going to be talking in a bit with Laird Monahan, who with his brother walked across these United States to try to bring attention to this issue. Have I gotten all the business out of the way? Oh, yeah, over at the Brad blog. I haven't even said who I am. Who am I? I'm Brad. Don't laugh at me, Tony. I'm, you know, new to this thing. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, where there is a live chat room going on right now. The lovely Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are in there monitoring. I'm going to do my best, as always, to keep an eye on the chat room if I can. Also, on the Twitters, where you can Twitter me at the Brad Blog, and you can give us a call today at 877-520-1150. That's out here at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles. Thank you, folks, for having me. 877-520-1150. Don't use the normal Mike Malloy phone number. Don't bother them. Leave them alone, will you people? Leave them alone. Bother us. 877-520-1150. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can throughout the day, but we do have a busy schedule because, you know, it is day one of year 10. Year 10. Don't look at me that way, Tony. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? No. Tony Sorrentino, our engineer, he doesn't know what goes on. He watches race cars or something. We don't know what he does. Year 10 of the war in Afghanistan, the longest war in the history of this nation. And today, we begin year 10. Feel safer? Do you feel safer? Why the hell are we there 10 years later? Why the hell are we still in Iraq? You know, I was thinking about this on the way over here, driving over here, and with Dez, and she had mentioned, hey, don't forget about, you know, Eisenhower's military-industrial complex speech, and boy, was he right on the money. That's the obvious, as he warned against the military-industrial complex. But, you know, I'm thinking here, in this economy, in this terrible economy that is, by the way, no matter what they've told you teabagger folks out there, it's getting better. Not fast enough, but it's getting better, as opposed to previously when George Bush was in office and it was getting worse. But it's getting better, but it's still terrible. So the question occurred to me, can we even afford to get out of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? Yeah, it would help our deficit problem. This military-industrial engine, we've gotten to this point where I don't know if the economy could survive without it. But how did we get here 10 years later? We got here because of an election. An election where nobody bothered to count the ballots. Some of the ballots were counted by an electronic voting machine in Volusia County, Florida in 2000, which registered negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore, which led to his concession, which led to Bush going to court, saying, he can't unconcede because I'll be harmed. That tabulator, that optical scan, paper-based tabulator, registered negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore in 2000. And the solution to that debacle was to push these electronic voting machines out all over the country. We are using them everywhere. We're going to talk about that when I come back, because there has been an extraordinary hack of a live election. Well, an election that was about to be live. An internet voting election, as if our regular voting machines aren't crazy enough. Hacked in D.C. Coming back right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy today and tomorrow. Glad you can be with us. We're going to be speaking after the bottom of the hour about the Citizens United decision and the price that we are all paying. We are all going to pay. Yes, Democrats, independents, and even Republicans, because they don't know. They are so unbelievably disinformed by their media outlets about what's actually going on here, about how people are buying these elections. Well, we're going to be talking about that in a moment, because it's about the elections. I keep telling you over and over again, it's about the elections. Oh, it's also about the media and the fact that corporations, the same ones who are buying elections, have also already bought our airwaves, every last inch of them, and they control them. They decide what you hear for the most part, other than when I'm able to sneak in on them, of course. But it's about elections. No, it's not about this silly horse race. It's not about Christine O'Donnell out there in Delaware. Oh, I'm a witch. Who cares? It's nonsense. It's stupidity. It's not about Jim DeMint saying that single women and gay people should not be allowed to be teachers. Yeah, we need to let people know what these crazy, insane right-wing nutbags, and I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm talking about right-wing nutbags, as we send out our beacon for, legitimate Republicans to show up and save their party. I guess they don't care, because the Republican Party is now just a bunch of crazy, insane, sociopathic, psychotic, crazy people. And that ain't good. You might think it's good, but wait till they wait till November. Wait till you see how they're going to screw you guys. But anyway, and that's not to say that I'm not saying that to push for Democrats, because they're a bunch of losers. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. My point is, you can talk about Christine O'Donnell being a witch, or you can talk about the fact that when she ran in her primary back in August against one of the last legitimate Republicans, Mike Castle, guess what? Mike Castle actually beat her in that election, 54.7% to O'Donnell's 45.3%. You heard me. Mike Castle destroyed Christine O'Donnell, as far as you know. Why? Because that's what the verifiable paper-based absentee ballots told us. Mike Castle won 55-45 over O'Donnell on the paper-based absentee ballots, the ones that can actually be verified. On the unverifiable ballots that were cast on Election Day on 100% unverifiable electronic voting machines that they forced their voters to use, guess what? Castle won, according to what the machines told us, 53.3% over Castle, 46.7%. So O'Donnell won is what I meant to say. So on the paper ballots, Castle beat O'Donnell, destroyed her. On the electronic unverifiable vote, it was O'Donnell over Castle. Where's the media? Why aren't they talking about that? Why aren't they talking about Jim DeMint instead of talking about his nonsense about, you know, pregnant women shouldn't be teachers and gay people shouldn't be teachers? Why aren't they talking about the fact that the guy he's about to run against won on Alvin Green, who nobody had ever heard of, won on 100% unverifiable voting machines? Somebody prove to me that Alvin Green won that election. Somebody prove to me that Christine O'Donnell won in Delaware. Did she? Maybe. Can anybody prove it? Can anybody prove that even one vote cast for her on Election Day was actually cast for her? No, they can't. Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., as if these voting machines that we use locally at the polls aren't already insane enough, they were about to start an election, a live election over the Internet in Washington, D.C. And just days, this is for November, by the way, military and overseas voters, they were going to let them vote on the Internet. So just before the election was to start, D.C. said, well, you know what, since we've never done this before, let's let people try to hack it if they can. We think it's secure. So they put the word out about 2 or 3 days' notice. Hey, hackers, come on and try to hack this machine, if you, the system, if you can. We bet you can't. Well, guess what happened just days later? All of a sudden, people using the test system found that after they voted, the computer, the browsers, the web browsers that people were using, suddenly started playing the University of Michigan fight song. How did that happen? Well, it was hacked. And as we guessed at the time, the hacker, the lead hacker, was a guy by the name of Alex Halderman, an assistant professor at the University of Michigan, who we hope will be joining us tomorrow night to talk about that hack, to talk about when he hacked Pac-Man onto a touchscreen system. He wrote, "Within 36 hours of the system going live, our team had exploited a vulnerability that gave us almost total control of the server software, including the ability to change votes and reveal voters' secret ballots." And that was a test that we knew about. How about all of these other elections? We have no idea. Brad Friedman on The Molloy Show. Stay with us. If you can't see it, if you can't count it, there is no reason that you need to trust it. Brad Friedman here on the Mike Molloy Show. We were talking about this hack of a DC internet vote scheme that was about to go live in November. And the D.C. election officials, I suppose, to their credit, had opened it up and said, "Hey, hackers, come and get us if you can." And boy, howdy did they. The fella who hacked this system, along with some of his students, is J. Alex Halderman, an assistant professor of computer science at University of Michigan. And he writes, "Within 36 hours of the system going live, our team had found and exploited a vulnerability that gave us almost total control of the server software, including the ability to change votes and reveal voters' secret ballots." Got it? Now, Alex Halderman will hopefully be joining us tomorrow night to talk about this hack. To talk about the hack about a month ago when he replaced a Sequoia touchscreen voting machine with Pac-Man without disturbing any of the tamper evidence seals. You know, the ones that the election officials tell you, "Oh, this will take care of it. It would tamper evidence. We would see if there was any tampering." Wrong. In his, it was absolutely incredible. You can read about it at bradblog.com in preparation for tomorrow. But amongst the things they did, they overwrote every single vote that had been cast with a write-in choice. They were able to see the names of voters and how they voted, and they were able to insert code so that they could change future votes in future elections. And, separately, that hasn't been reported, I was speaking yesterday with David Jefferson, a computer scientist from Livermore National Laboratories. He now works with verifiedvoting.org, and he told me that he also found another exploit on his own, which was that when you would open up your ballot, he thought it would only apply to the Mac, but as it was found out later, it applied to PC and everything else. When you open up your ballot in the web browser, it opens a PDF in your web browser, and you click it and you fill it in when you're following the instructions, voting for who you want to vote for. Then you save it onto your hard disk, and then you email it to the D.C. election officials. That's how it was supposed to work, and that's what he did, and everything seemed to work fine. Until later on, he went back and he looked at that saved PDF, and guess what? It was blank. When you fill it out in your browser and you save it, it doesn't save the way you filled it out. It only saves the ballot. Had they not noticed this, there would have been thousands and thousands of blank ballots. And what would they have done? They would have said, they would have blamed the voter. They didn't follow the instructions. Or, here's what I think would have happened. This is clearly shows the voter anger this year, and they were sending in blank ballots to express that they didn't like any of the candidates. Yeah. That's what happened. There's always a backwards, a reverse engineered excuse to explain these anomalies. And in this case, D.C. has called off the internet election that was to take place. So overseas and military voters will have to send back their ballots the old-fashioned way. Fill them out with a piece on paper, email them, and I'm sorry, fax them back, which is already a bad idea, lose your privacy, or snail mail them back. But, yeah, you're going to see more of these internet voting schemes all around the country. It's insane. And imagine how many elections we would have had hacked if they had invited people to try to do that in your local polling place. They don't try to do that. They just tell you it's secure when we know it's not. It's about elections. And it's not just about counting your ballot, because if you can't see it, you can't trust it. And that includes paper ballots that are counted on an op scan machine. And you trust the machine instead of trusting your eyeballs to count them. It's not just about if you can't see it, you can't trust it. It's about the entire process having been undermined. The election, counting the ballots, that's the back end. The front end, millions and millions of dollars, corporate undisclosed dollars from foreign entities which are now pouring into our election system. Now that Citizens United, the worst Supreme Court decision since Dred Scott, has occurred. We're going to speak with Laird Monahan, who walked across the country with his brother to raise attention about Citizens United, to say that this is absolutely insane and the millions of dollars that are pouring into our elections, not by we the people. Pay attention, teabaggers. Not by we the people, but by they, the corporations. Laird Monahan joins me. He's a retired merchant seaman. He is a Vietnam veteran, served in the Navy from 1964 to 1968. And he, with his brother, Robin, walked across these United States to raise attention to Citizens United. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Laird.
Hey, how you doing, Brett?
I'm okay. Laird, you, sir, and your brother, as far as I'm concerned, are American heroes. And before we get into how you came up with this crazy scheme and if it actually makes any damn difference in the whole wide world, let me ask you, how old are you, Laird?
I'm 70. Robin is 67.
So he's 67 and you're 70. Well, then let me say you guys are just spring chickens because, you know, Granny D. Do you remember Granny D?
Hey, well, you know, I never heard of her until I started talking about doing this. But, yeah, she's our hero.
She is. Yeah, and we lost her not long ago. I think she was 90, was it 90 or 95 years old when she walked across the country on a very similar point. It was about 10 years ago or so.
She was 89 when she started. She had two birthdays before she finished.
and she was
died last March. Yeah, she died last March at 100.
Yeah, and she was trying to raise attention for campaign finance reform. And I'm sorry to say that Granny D, her efforts at campaign finance reform, well, we've had campaign finance reform, haven't we? But in the wrong direction. Laird, give me an idea just before we get into the walk that you took. What's wrong with Citizens United as far as you're concerned, the Supreme Court decision?
Well, there's not much right with it. The Supreme Court actually violated its own principles about legislating from the bench. And they, in essence, they made corporations into people and the money into speech. And that in my estimation, it made a fraud out of our Constitution. I was just devastated by it.
And had you been an activist before, you and your brother Robin, had you been activists outspoken on these sorts of issues in the past?
I tell people that the most activism that we enjoyed was putting a sign in our front yard for the candidate that we were intending to vote for. That was about it.
So what moved you to, you know, most people, Laird, would, you know, dash off an angry letter to the newspaper. They wouldn't say, hey, let's walk across the entire United States. What made you decide you wanted to walk across the entire United States?
Well, I told my my beloved wife, Nina, that no one was calling for action after this court decision, even though many people knew, and for years they knew what the issue was and how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, even before the decision came down, I was saying, you know, who is going to lead the March on Washington? And no one was raising the alarm, and only more talk. And on January 21st, I was just frustrated beyond words. And
that was the day of the decision, January 21st of 2010, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This year.
A case that will live in infamy, as we've called it over at Bradblog. so January 21, you were devastated, and what happened next?
My wife said, "Do what you have to do." And so I did, and I told her that I couldn't write letters anymore, and I couldn't sign petitions that didn't have any effect. My letters were never answered by anybody with anything other than a form letter, you know. So I, you know, I acknowledge that this is a totally irrational act. I did it just simply out of outrage that I couldn't do anything else, and I had to. I tell you, you know, I did serve in the Navy, as Robin did. We both served at the same time from 64 to 68. We were both Vietnam vets. And I felt that my country was calling me back into service. I really did. I felt that I had to do something to save my Constitution and my democracy, our democracy,
yeah,
for my children, for my grandchildren, and for posterity.
How long did when did you start, where did you start, and how long did it take?
Well, today is our 144th day, I think it is. We left San Francisco after getting our feet wet in the Pacific on May 16th. And we came over the Sierras and the Rockies and across the hottest part of Kansas. I've never been so hot in my life. It was 110 a couple of days. But well, we weren't walking then. Actually, we had to quit walking about 10 o'clock in the morning a couple of times
because it was so hot out there in Kansas.
Yeah. And then, but we had a rally in Denver. We've had a rally in Kansas City and St. Louis, and we diverted our walk. We drove up to Chicago and Madison, Wisconsin for a couple of rallies. And we've met thousands of people along the way, Brad, that are just fantastic. And they all understand this situation. It's a nonpartisan issue. It's... in my belief, it's the defining issue of our time.
Now
it supersedes. It goes beyond. It goes beyond the political boundaries. It affects every American citizen.
I couldn't agree more. You're currently on your 144th day, and the reason our phones are breaking up a little bit there is because you're on a cell phone. You're in the middle of where? Western Virginia, Appalachia country.
We're in the mountains of West Virginia at a place called Kaiser, West Virginia. It's in the eastern part of northern West Virginia, and it's surrounded by mountains here, so this cell phone might not be too good.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, Laird. Hang on the line. We're speaking with Laird Monahan, who, with his brother Robin, is walking across the country to save your democracy. Going to find out what he learned along the way. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot straight ahead. And speaking of 110 degrees in Kansas, Van Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead.
If my words...
Well, I have to talk instead of listening to that. Love the tune. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com. I forgot to say hey to the truth seekers over there at DU. Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. Yes, Big Brother is watching. Speaking with Laird Monahan, who an American hero. Unbelievably, with his brother Robin, has been, Laird is 70, his brother Robin is 67, has been walking across these United States to raise attention for this horrific Citizens United decision, which has just turned our what was left of our democracy into a mockery. Frankly, Laird, so you started in San Francisco May 16th. You're on your 144th day, and you're headed to D.C. You haven't gotten yet to D.C., correct?
That's correct. Well, we did stop and go to the One Nation United event, but we came back, finished our walk. We've got about 10 days to go.
Oh, so you went to D.C. for the rally, but you came, but you flew out there, or you drove, or what?
We drove.
So
yeah,
you drove.
We have a support vehicle. Yeah, we can drive wherever we need to be.
And then you came back.
At any given time.
And
yeah.
You came back, so you're not cheating, right?
No. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, we take the integrity of this walk very seriously.
And what kind of response have you gotten from people? Most notably, actually, what kind of response have you gotten from elected officials? Have they paid attention? Has the media paid attention to what you're doing?
The mainstream media has not. We have gotten a lot of attention from independent media. We have had a few, you know, like 10 seconds on the late night news on a few mainstream TV stations, but not much else. You know, we don't have anything against corporations. We think corporations are part of our...
You're breaking up a little bit there, Laird. Hang on and see if you can. I don't know if you're walking now or not, but sit still for a moment. You say you don't have anything against what exactly?
Yeah, we don't have anything against corporations.
Ah.
We think they're an essential part of our economy. They're in essence, they're an economic tool. But the Supreme Court has said that this economic tool is equal to human beings, and that guarantees that we, the people, will be excluded from representational government. The corporations have stolen our representation, either by intimidation or outright bribery, and on January 21st, the Supreme Court legalized it.
They sure did. What's in the minute or so we have left here, Laird Monahan, what's the solution? Because I don't see these guys, I don't see these politicians in D.C. taking any action, and I can't imagine anything is going to get done after these midterm elections. What can we, the people, do other than join you in this walk across the country?
Well, we have to get in the of our representatives and look, if you don't support a constitution,
Hang on.
Don't represent.
Laird, you broke up again. Get in touch with your elected individuals and tell them what?
If you don't support a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood, then you don't represent we the people, and you don't deserve our votes.
No, they don't. Have you gotten to actually speak to any of these representatives? And if so,
yes,
who?
We have, Brad. When we were out in Grand Junction, Colorado, we spoke to four candidates in various offices in Colorado running on it. And they all said that they would sign a. They would support a constitutional amendment.
Laird, these were... I'm sorry, I got to break you up because we're breaking up. So you said you spoke with folks who are on the ballot running for which party, very quickly?
Well, they were Tea Party candidates running on the Republican ticket, and they supported this. They supported the constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood.
Any elected officials? I got 30 seconds here, Laird. Any elected officials said yes, we will support the amendment, or no, we will not, and who?
I have not seen any currently serving candidate.
What's a guy
for office, but not none currently serving?
What's a guy got to do? Laird,
find out more information about us on our blog.
Let me give you that. Let me give Laird the website because you're breaking up. LairdandRobin.org. LairdandRobin.org, you can get more information there, and go to movetoamend.org. Laird, sorry to cut you off there. Your phone was breaking up. Thank you, sir. You're a hero.